Good morning, everyone, and we welcome you to our Lord's Day morning service here in Hillsborough Free Presbyterian Church. And we are broadcasting live across Sermon Audio and Facebook, and as well on YouTube. And we're going to seek God's face together, and we encourage you, just wherever you are at this moment, to still your heart and to bow before the Lord and to ask the Lord for his help and for his blessing. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we do praise thee that we can enter into thy presence this Lord's Day morning. We thank thee, our Father, for the privilege of prayer, being able to seek thy face and being able to call upon thy holy name together. And we come to thee acknowledging that thou art Jehovah, thou art the one who is the creator of the ends of the earth, the one who fainteth not, neither is weary. And as we come to thee, we do praise thee that thou art the great unchanging God. And thou hast said in thy word, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And we thank thee, our Father, that while we live in a changing world, that we come to worship a God who knows no change. And therefore, O God, we can come to thee with that confidence. We can come, O God, with that reassurance in our hearts that as we seek thee, thou hast promised to hear and to answer prayer. And we come, O God, acknowledging our unworthiness, for we confess, O God, that we're sinners by nature and we're sinners by practice. We confess, O God, that we fail thee even on a daily basis. We sin against thee in thought, in word and in deed. But we thank thee, our Father, for the great work that was accomplished by our Lord and Saviour. And we thank thee for the value of the precious blood that he shed for us on Calvary's tree. And we thank thee that the blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And therefore, O God, while we come to thee today, acknowledging our sinfulness, we do thank thee that thou dost look upon us in the person of thy dear Son. And we rejoice, O God, that we're clothed in his perfect righteousness, that we stand upon redemption ground. And thou hast said in thy word that thine eyes are upon the righteous and thine ears are open unto their cry. And therefore, our Father, we do thank thee that thou art one who is an all-seeing and an all-knowing God. We praise thee that thou knowest all things, and all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And yet, O God, thou hast encouraged us to come boldly to the throne of heavenly grace, that we might obtain mercy and find that grace to help in our time of need. And the days, O God, in which we live are needy days. And we ask, our Father, that as we come to thee, thou wouldst be pleased to hear our prayer. Thou wouldst draw near to each and to every heart today. Thou dost know, our Father, the circumstances of each and every one that would be listening to this service. Thou dost know, our Father, the heart need. Thou dost know the spiritual need today. And we pray, O God, that in a most definite, in a most powerful way, thou wouldst minister to each and to every individual. And may we know, our Father, of a truth, that great promise that the Apostle Paul has outlined, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so, our Father, we pray that thou wouldst come and draw near to each of our hearts. We do pray for that sense of the divine presence with us, and grant, O God, the power, the endowment, the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God, that even our Father, as we would meet in these unusual circumstances, that we would know the blessing of the triune God to be upon us, not only individually, but Lord, collectively, as a congregation of thy people, and that, oh, in these days, our Father, thou wouldst keep thy hand upon the work and be pleased, our Father, that it might prosper spiritually in these days. We do pray, O God, for those that would have special need. We commit to thee again those in our congregation that have suffered as a result of the coronavirus. And we thank thee, O God, for the measure of progress. And we pray that thou wouldst continue thy hand upon each one of them. And, O Lord, that they would know that full strength returning to their physical frame. And that thou wouldst be pleased, O God, to undertake for them even at this time. And we think, our Father, of others who have been led aside, and some, O God, that have been hospitalized, and, Lord, with other conditions, and we pray that thou wouldst be with them, and, O Father, that again thou wouldst be the great physician to them, and those going through treatment, O God, be pleased to use it to thine honor and to thy glory. And we ask, our Father, for elderly saints, those perhaps today who could be listening on their own in their own home. Lord, draw near to them, grant them the peace of God within their heart, and give to them that assurance that thou wilt never leave, thou wilt never forsake them. And we do pray, O God, for sorrowing hearts, those that have known what it is to have lost a loved one. And Father, we pray that thou wouldst bind up the brokenness of their heart, and thou wouldst be pleased to uphold them with the right hand of thy righteousness. And Lord, we do commit our way to thee for this service. We pray for help from heaven, and we do pray, O God, for each one of our sister congregations, that each one that would stand to minister thy word today with no strength and power from heaven. And thou wouldst be pleased, O God, to come in these days and grant us times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. So, Father, hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place, and do continue with us now as we wait on before thee. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm going to read together the scriptures. We're turning to the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah and the chapter 37. And as we're looking here into the Old Testament scriptures, Isaiah chapter 37, we're going to read from the 14th verse. And we're reading here of a particular episode in the life of King Hezekiah. And let us read then from Isaiah 37 and the verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up onto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he hath sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent unto Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Amen. We'll end there at verse 22. May the Lord add his own blessing to this reading from his own precious and infallible word. I would like to bid everyone a very warm welcome to our broadcast service, and we do thank you for taking the time to tune in with us this Lord's Day morning. We trust that you will remain with us around the Word of God, and that that Word would prove to be a blessing and a means of encouragement to your heart. We have been closed for a number of weeks, as you know. We haven't been able to join together as a congregation. But we had, with discussion in the session and committee, the intention that we would be reopening at the beginning of December. But of course, now that the Stormont Executive have laid out new restrictions, we're unable to do that. And so our proposed new opening date to join together here in the church as a congregation will be the Lord's Day, the 13th of December. So we leave that date with you, and we ask you to make that a matter of prayer. Because of the new restrictions that have been outlined by the Stormont Executive, our presbytery met yesterday over Zoom, and they have a statement prepared that they have requested would be read in all of our churches today and will be issued to the public press. And so I want to read that statement to you. In a Zoom meeting of the General Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, held on Saturday the 21st of November, the following statement was presented and accepted with reference to the Presbytery's view on the Stormont Executive's proposed two-week lockdown. It was also agreed that this statement would be read in our churches on Sunday the 22nd of November, issued to the public press and sent to the Stormont Executive. And this is the statement. As a presbytery, we wish to make known publicly our views on the recently introduced lockdown measures to be in place for a further 2 weeks. While we agree with the efforts of government to control and minimise the effects of COVID-19, and while we are concerned about the effects of lockdown measures upon society in terms of the material welfare of the citizens of this province, yet above all else, the closure of places of public worship for a further 2 weeks is of major concern and regret to us. We would remind legislators that assembling to worship in public gatherings is an essential right and privilege bestowed on mankind by God as Creator and Redeemer in order to provide for the spiritual and mental well-being of humanity. We would also remind legislators that, as history clearly reveals, liberty to worship according to Scripture and the Gospel has contributed to the material stability and prosperity of society. Therefore, while we are prepared to be in subjection to government guidelines with respect to COVID-19 in terms of this proposed 2-week closure of places of worship, we would urge upon the Stormont Executive that they must make every possible effort to ensure that there are no further such closures. We would also urge the Stormont Executive to issue a call to prayer for the intervention of Almighty God in the face of this pandemic, that he may graciously remove it. So that statement is not only read today in our churches, but it will be issued to the public press, and it will also be sent to the Stormont Executive. And again, we encourage God's people to make this a matter of prayer, and that very soon the Lord will open up the way for us to be able to gather together as a congregation. Do please remember our gospel meeting tonight. The live broadcasts continue here at 7 p.m. this evening, and we've made it tonight a special testimony meeting. We've invited our brother, one of our members here, Mr. Norman McCready, that he would come along and give that personal word of testimony and tell us of the grace of God in his life. And so we trust that you will tune in tonight and even encourage others to gather with you in your home, and that it might be a means of blessing as we would hear of the conversion of our brother. Tuesday night, the session and committee have been meeting each Tuesday night to review our situation and also for prayer. And this Tuesday night coming, I would like to open up that time of prayer to the whole congregation. It will be over Zoom, of course, and I will send out into the congregational WhatsApp the login details, the meeting ID and the passcode. And so it's open to all of God's people to come, to join in to Zoom, that we can see each other and that we can at least meet in that virtual way. And so come Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Do set that aside, and we'll hopefully see you in that Zoom meeting. Then Wednesday night is our Bible study broadcast. That's at 8 p.m. And again, we trust that you will join us over the various platforms that we're broadcasting on. Next Lord's Day, in the will of the Lord, 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. And we always value the prayers of God's people for the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. I'd invite you to turn with me again in God's Word to the portion of Scripture we've read together, Isaiah's prophecy and the chapter 37. And here we're reading about a particular experience in the life of King Hezekiah, the king of Judah. I would draw your attention to the verse 14. And verse 14 really sets the scene for us here, and it outlines what is taking place. In Isaiah 37 and the verse 14, we read, "And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up onto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord." And as we think of this portion of Scripture, I simply entitle the message this morning, "Burdens Are Lifted." And that's why I was playing that hymn, "Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary." We've lifted the words and we're using them as the title of this message this morning. Let us unite together in prayer and ask the Lord for help as we come to the ministry of his word. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we do praise thee that we can lift our hearts heavenward, and we thank thee that we have thy precious word before us. And we pray, our Father, that this word would prove to be a word in season to our hearts this day. We look to thee, O God, for that needed guidance and direction. And we pray that as we look into this experience in the life of Hezekiah, that it might prove to be an example to us, O God, and it might help us in these days in which we live. I ask our Father for that needed help from heaven in the ministry of thy word, and that each one, O God, that would listen would hear with that enlightened heart, and that God the Holy Spirit would work and apply the word to each one of us. Hear us, O God, and glorify thy name in and through us. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. The name Hezekiah, it means Jehovah will strengthen. It's a tremendous name. Jehovah will strengthen. And yet, whenever we think about that name and the meaning of it, it's unlikely that his father gave him that name, because the father of Hezekiah was the idolatrous Ahaz. And Ahaz would have been so far from looking to Jehovah for strength that it's unlikely he would have come up with this name for his son. In fact, Hezekiah's father would have looked more to the Assyrians, to the Babylonians for help. and he entered into a league, into an agreement with them, in order that they might protect them in his day. Now, whenever Hezekiah took the throne, and he was the king of Judah, he took the throne at 25 years of age, and very quickly he gave evidence that he was a different man to his father. And during his reign, he ruled very differently to his father. Hezekiah immediately set about a reformation, and he started pulling down the idols and images that had been set up during his father's reign. Those images were broken and utterly destroyed. He even destroyed the brazen serpent. That brazen serpent had become an idol, and the Israelites were actually worshipping that idol and burning incense. And so when Hezekiah came, he took that piece of brass and he destroyed it. He called it Nehushtan, just a piece of brass, even though they had made a god of it. And so we can see something of the Reformation in the days of Hezekiah. And his Reformation continued. He repaired the temple of the Lord. It had fallen into disrepair. It had become dilapidated and neglected. And Hezekiah set about to repair the house of the Lord. And he also set in place again the Passover, that feast of remembrance that reminded them of who they were and reminded them of the covenant that they had with the Lord. And so when Hezekiah was on the throne, it was a time whenever hearts were turning back to the Lord and true worship was being established throughout the land. There was something of an awakening taking place, and there was a new spirit of devotion on the part of the people, and things seemed to be moving in the right direction. Things seemed to be so positive at this particular time. And then a great evil presented itself during the reign of Hezekiah. That evil appeared on the horizon, and it actually took the form of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, with all of his hosts. They came and they encamped against Judah and Jerusalem. And such was the potential threat here that the heart of King Hezekiah might have begun to tremble with fear at this threatened invasion, that they would be overcome. Hezekiah had broken off the arrangement that his father had, entering into that league with the king of Assyria so that he wouldn't invade and he wouldn't come and take the land. But Hezekiah here, having broken off that arrangement, the king of Assyria now lays siege to Judah. And the messengers come to tell King Hezekiah, and he receives the message in the form of a letter. And you can see that from our text of Scripture, verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers. And that letter, actually, the contents of it were detailing the threat that was against King Hezekiah and God's people. The danger was very real. The trouble had now come. And how would Hezekiah deal with this matter? And that's what I want us to think about together. He had a great weight. He had a great problem. The trouble was there. But what did he do? Well, we're going to see with Hezekiah that he brought it to the Lord. He brought it to the Lord. And that's why I entitled the message, Burdens Are Lifted. Because we can bring our burdens and we can bring our troubles to the Lord. And as we just notice a few thoughts from this portion, I want you to see firstly the recognition of the trouble. And you look back in the chapter, we read from verse 14, but you could go right back to the third verse, and you would see there that Hezekiah, in verse 3, "Thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble." And he realizes that the trouble is coming. It is a day of trouble, Hezekiah said. And then as we come down the chapter to where we took up the reading, he has the evidence of that trouble in his hand. He has the letter. The trouble had come, and he received the letter, verse 14 says, and he also read it. And so it's there, it's in black and white, if you like, before him, all of the details of this threatened trouble, the potential of the Assyrians invading. The book of Job, the chapter 5 and the verse 7, it says, "Man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward." Job goes on to say in chapter 14 and the verse 1, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." You see, troubles will come. We will never get through our lives without having to face some trouble or some difficulty. It's inevitable that things are going to cross our earthly pathway. We are going to encounter troubles. It's the common experience of humanity. God's people are not exempt from that. The trouble will come. And how does the trouble come? Well, it can come suddenly. That's how it seems to have come here. Hezekiah then had to say, this is a day of trouble. And he receives the letter into his hand and he reads the letter. And the trouble has now suddenly, as if it's out of the blue, it has just appeared before him. And you know, Hezekiah was doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Hezekiah was seeking to serve the Lord in this particular matter. And sometimes we feel that, well, if someone is doing right before the Lord and they're serving the Lord, well, good will come. And if someone, even one of God's people, if suddenly some trouble comes into their life, people can wrongly draw the conclusion, oh, there must be some sin in their life. There must be something wrong there. They think if you do good, good will come. And if you do evil, evil will come. But how wrong we are in making such a general sweeping observation. Actually, we can see those of God's people who are faithfully and humbly serving the Lord and seeking as far as lies within them to go on with the Lord. But of trouble. What an insult it is to say to such, oh, there must be something wrong in your life that all this trouble is coming upon you. They could be in the sovereign will of God, the very center of God's sovereign will, and yet be suffering trouble because the Lord wants them to go through that trouble and to bring glory to His name in how they're able to face it. And how they're able to know and prove the strength of the Lord through it. And so we can see here that troubles can come suddenly, just the way that this particular letter arrived. And we can receive news of trouble. Oh, in the days of Hezekiah, it was the letter. And it could be a letter today. The postman doesn't always bring good news. Sometimes there can be a letter that we receive that brings trouble. Today, maybe more modern, it could be an email. It could be a text message. It could be a WhatsApp message. And whatever that message is, just suddenly our circumstances could change and our world could be turned upside down because trouble can come suddenly and we have to recognize that. The trouble not only comes suddenly, trouble tends to come with other troubles. It's not just one trouble. Sometimes the trouble seems to multiply, and things just seem to go from bad to worse. You've maybe heard the saying, oh, if it's not one thing, it's another. I think we could all manage well if we just had the one trouble to face, but sometimes it's like waves of trouble. Whether it's in the physical frame, those of God's people who maybe suffer illness, those of God's people who have got on in years and the body begins to show its weariness. And there's maybe one ailment and then another ailment, and you get one thing sorted out and something else raises its head. The trouble could come physically, but it could be circumstantial. All things that are happening around you, troubles that present themselves to you. Do you remember Jacob back in the book of Genesis and the trouble that he had? Remember how he thought he had lost his son Joseph. You remember the news that came to him that day. And he was presented with his coat with the blood upon it. Trouble. You remember later how he would suffer in the midst of a famine. And how when they would go to get food from Egypt, Simeon would be imprisoned, and there's more trouble has come. And then Jacob now fears that he's going to lose Benjamin. It wasn't just the one trouble. They just seemed to multiply one after another. A multiplicity of woes. And Jacob reached the point where he said in Genesis 42 and the verse 36, all these things are against me. All these things. A multiplicity of troubles. And so we recognize that the troubles come suddenly. The troubles tend to come with other troubles. And troubles can be overwhelming. We thought there the example of Jacob. And you think of Jacob when he said, all these things are against me. He was reaching the point of despair. He felt he couldn't cope with any more bad news. And things were beginning to overwhelm him. Yet, of course, we know with Jacob the outcome of that story. And even though that cloud had a silver lining for him, there was blessing there in disguise. But it didn't lessen the load and the weight and the burden that was upon him as he was receiving message after message. And here in our passage this morning, Hezekiah has received the message. And it seems to have almost overwhelmed him. The circumstances that he finds himself in, there's a great weight, there's a great burden there, but he doesn't shy away from it. He doesn't bury his head in the sand and pretend this isn't happening. He recognizes the trouble. He received the letter into his hand and he read it. A recognition of the trouble, but secondly, we see his reaction to the trouble. Of course, verse 14, Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, and Hezekiah went up onto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. How did he respond to his trouble? Well, he took that trouble and he spread it out before the Lord. I know from comparing Scripture with Scripture, and the parallel passage 2 Chronicles 32 would tell us that Hezekiah actually shared this bad news, this trouble, with his advisors and with his friends. But I can say this assuredly. He first took it to the Lord. And the order there is important. When he receives it into his hand and he reads it, how is he going to respond to it? Does he run immediately to man for help? No. He brings his burden to the Lord. And he spreads it out before the Lord. Personally and privately, just spreading his trouble out before the Lord. He went to the house of the Lord. Now, of course, today, we're not able to come to the house of the Lord, but there's nothing There's nothing that stands in the way of our fellowship and communion with the Lord. And no matter where you are today, you can spread your troubles out before the Lord. He came into the house of the Lord. He spread the letter before the Lord. And verse 15 says, and Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord. Take your burden to the Lord. Take your burden to the Lord in prayer. That's the best response. That's the best reaction of the believer. The apostle said when he was writing to the Philippians, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And Hezekiah here sets a wonderful example to us. He brings his trouble to the Lord and he spreads it out before the Lord. He's gone into the house of the Lord. And he's before the mercy seat. You say, well, how do we know he's before the mercy seat? Well, if you look at verse 16, it says, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims. That dwellest between the cherubims. If you remember the furniture for the tabernacle, there was the Ark of the Covenant that was to be built, and on top of the Ark of the Covenant, there was the mercy seat. It served really as the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. And at each end of the mercy seat, there was to be the cherubim, and the wings of the cherubim would be outspread. And there, in the midst of the cherubim, above the mercy seat, would have been the Shekinah glory, the visible presence of the Lord with his people. And once a year, the Day of Atonement, the high priest would come within the veil and would be there before the mercy seat, and not without blood, but would bring the blood of the sacrifice and would sprinkle it upon and before the mercy seat. And so we can see that this place was the place that really indicated the presence of the Lord. In fact, in Exodus chapter 25 and in the verse 22, the Lord gave the promise to his people. And he said, and there I will meet with thee and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony. The Lord said, there I will meet with thee, and there I will commune with thee. And that's where Hezekiah is as he's praying. And he sees, as it were, it's the place where the Lord has promised to meet with his people. The place where the blood has been, that shed blood. The place where the Lord promises to meet with his people is on the grounds of the shed blood. There the Lord will commune with us. The place of his presence. The place of fellowship with the Lord. And it's on the basis of his precious blood. It speaks to us of Calvary. And that's why I really took the words of that hymn. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Do you find yourself in trouble today? Bring that trouble to the Lord. Bring that burden to the Lord. And come to that place where, on the basis of the Lord's precious shed blood, we can draw nigh into the presence of the Lord. And we can spread that trouble out before him. And the Lord has promised to hear and to answer the prayers of his people. You notice there, in verse 16 as well, where Hezekiah is speaking about the power of the Lord. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the God of Israel that dwellest between the cherubims. Thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. And whenever you get to see the Lord in such a way as the Lord Almighty, Now the troubles seem to peel away. Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, didn't seem to be the threat that they first feared whenever they compared it there to the Lord. Sennacherib had made short work of the other nations. And that was outlined in the letter. And that's what Hezekiah is bringing before the Lord in verse 17. And he said to the Lord, "Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire, for there were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them." And Hezekiah, as he's praying, and he knows what Sennacherib has outlined and what he has done to the other nations round about and what he has done to their gods. But Hezekiah is saying, "Thou art God alone. Thou art the Lord God Almighty. Thou art the only true and living God, not a God of wood or of stone that cannot see and cannot answer and cannot intervene on behalf of his people." And therefore Hezekiah will make petition before God in verse 20. And he will say, "Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us. Save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only." He came before the Lord and he prayed that the Lord would save them, that the Lord would intervene, that the Lord would take this evil away from them. Save us, O Lord, our God. That relationship that they had with Jehovah. He was their God and they were his people. And they said, "O Lord, our God, save us." You remember that time, child of God, when you first prayed to the Lord? You prayed that prayer for salvation. You came before the Lord to trust in him, to turn from your sin, to repent and to say, "Lord, save me." The Lord heard that prayer. The Lord lifted the burden of your sin. The Lord gave you that joy and peace in believing. My, we have proved it, experience in the Christian life. When the troubles come, we can still pray that prayer and we can say, "Lord, save us." The Psalm 50 and the verse 15, the Lord said, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." And Hezekiah was praying here for the glory of God. The Lord would intervene, the Lord would save them from the Assyrians, that it might be a testimony to all the nations round about that our God is the true God. That our God is the living God, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. And so yes, we can see that troubles will inevitably come across our earthly pathway, but the example here with Hezekiah is recognize the trouble and then react to that trouble by spreading it out before the Lord. Then I want you to see, thirdly, as we come to a close, the reassurance in the trouble. We just read a couple of further verses there, verses 21 and 22 in our Bible reading. But you could take time to go down the rest of the chapter and you would see the reassurance that Hezekiah was given when he had come to the Lord and spread the matter before him in prayer. Verse 21 commences with the word, "Then." Then, whenever you come across that word in the Bible and it says then, you should always ask when. And here, having looked at the background, we know when it was. It's when he had prayed to the Lord. When he had brought his burden to the Lord, then. And it was then that Isaiah, the prophet of the Lord, could come to Hezekiah and give him words of great reassurance. Give him words of comfort. that the Lord had heard his prayer and that the Lord would intervene on behalf of his people. What the Lord was going to do for his people here. You could actually just glance down the chapter to the verse 35. And here's what the Lord is saying. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And when we commit our troubles to the Lord, he hears, he answers prayer. We have that reassurance. And Hezekiah himself was, of course, not to sit back. And that parallel passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, it tells us what Hezekiah did at this stage. He actually came to the people. And there in verse 7 of 2 Chronicles 32, Hezekiah said to the people, "Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for they be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." The people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Now, when Hezekiah got the answer and got the reassurance from the Lord, he could go before the people and he could say, "Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed, because the Lord our God will fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah. What reassurance there was there. Do you know, when you go on down our passage that was our Bible reading in Isaiah 37, and you go to the verse 36, it says, "Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they rose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses." There was victory for God's people. The Lord intervened here and granted them a great deliverance. The enemy was destroyed. And from this example in the life of Hezekiah, surely we're encouraged again to cast all our cares upon the one who cares for us. And to know today again that burdens are lifted at Calvary, and that Jesus is very near. And in these days in which we find ourselves, let us cultivate the habit of bringing our troubles to the Lord in prayer. And may the Lord hear, and may the Lord answer prayer. We're going to close. Amen. Let us now just close in a brief word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father and our gracious God, we do thank Thee for the opportunity of being able to open up the Scriptures together and to meet around Thy precious Word. And we do thank Thee, our Father, for the blessing that it is to our hearts. And we pray that Thou wouldst be pleased, O God, to use that Word to increase our faith in Thee and to help us on with Thyself. Do come in these days and be pleased, O God, to intervene and even drive back, O God, the coronavirus, and do remove it from us, O God, and open up the way whereby we will soon be able as a congregation even to meet together in this house. And we do pray with the words that we have, Lord, been hearing in this hymn, that Thou wouldst fit Thy church to meet this hour. And, O Lord, equip us to spread Thy light, and grant that we would see together the building up of the Church of Jesus Christ, the edification of Thy people, the restoration of the backslider, the salvation of the sinner. Father, be pleased to hear and to answer prayer. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from the Triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, rest, remain, and abide with each one, both now and ever. We ask it in the Saviour's great name. Amen.